Welcome to Tucson's Future, brought to you by Nova Home Loans. I am your host, Edmund Marquez. Each episode, we bring you a look at the exciting changes happening in our community directly from those who are making them happen. Today, we are joined by Jeremy Sharp, president of Sharp & Associates, Inc. Among other projects, Jeremy and his team have led the development of Rancho Sahuarita, an award-winning 3,000-acre master plan community located in southern Arizona. Welcome, Jeremy Sharp. Glad to have you.
Thank you. It's been a long time.
I don't like reading the teleprompters, man.
But you did well. Said my name right. It was good.
Amen. So I'm excited to sit with you. I've never sat with you before. I've known you for years. We always say hi to each other. I see him at La Buzz in the morning on Swan.
Good little call out.
Fort Lowell. Thank you. Every day. We love La Buzz.
I get packages of the granola.
Oh, good for you. Yeah. Good for you. I eat eggs and sausage and tomatoes pretty much every day, but that's all right. So great to sit with you. So what I know of you, and I purposefully did not do any Googling because I've always wanted to sit with you. I think you've had lunch with my sister probably more times than you've sat with me. So happy to sit with you. So I know, this is what I know. I know that your dad, Bob Sharp, created Rancho Sahuarita. What year?
He acquired in 93.
In 93. So from what I saw from a Tucsonan's perspective was a developer created almost a city. I know it's a community, but it kind of put Sahuarita on the map because Sahuarita previously was just kind of ranches and desert for the most part. I mean, you can correct me if anything I'm wrong. I'm just going from the Tucsonan's perspective, but he basically had the guts to go or the bolas to go create a community out south of Tucson, which has boomed. So tell me how that came to fruition. I'm curious.
Yeah. So, you know, my dad came to Arizona in the late 70s, went to U of A for law school, went to ASU and NAU also.
Ooh.
I know.
All right.
He tried to cover it all. But he came here and really just started buying up and selling land. You know, back then in the 80s, it was kind of the Wild West out here. And he at one point, you know, I would say owned most of the major corners throughout the county.
Wow.
And you just trade it with the other developers at the time. And he was a land speculator. So he'd buy it, entitle a little bit, and then sell it.
Wow.
And then over time, started getting into neighborhood development. I mean, my dad's dream was always to create a better life for people. He always wanted to build neighborhoods where kids could ride their bikes on sidewalks and their tree-lined streets that would be safe. And so he started with small communities up in the northern part of Tucson. And
like what? Would I know
most of most of Sunrise and Kolb.
Oh,
so
wow.
So, like, you know,
okay.
A lot of Sabino Canyon. We were just talking about you know, being over by Sabino Canyon Cloud,
yep.
Knollwood, that whole area was his. And so
he, Sabino Vista Knolls?
Not Sabino Vista.
No.
Directly Knollwood. West. Knollwood, directly west.
Okay.
But in a lot throughout the foothills and Vail and up through Moran and Ore Valley. And he had the opportunity to acquire this 3,000 acres in Sarita. And you're right. Sarita back then was, you know, 2,000 people.
It was nothing.
It was nothing.
It was like ranches.
And, you know, a lot of rich history, a lot of mining history, a lot of ranch history, a lot of strong homesteading families that had been there. And my dad had the great opportunity to work with them to have the first form the town of Sarita. He supported that. And then
so the town of Sahuarita wasn't a town until your dad got there.
That's correct.
Okay. Yeah. That's huge. Does Sahuarita charge a sales tax?
It does. No property tax, though.
Okay. That goes to the county.
Yeah, no property tax.
And does it ever, I know it's now built a retail component. I know we're jumping ahead, but I know it has a retail component.
Yep.
Right? Okay. So your dad literally formed a town.
Formed a town.
My dad was an insurance agent. Your dad formed a town. That's pretty good, man. Okay, we keep going. That's super interesting.
Yeah, and you know, he just had this dream of creating a better life for people. And so he acquired Rancho Sahuarita. It's about 3,000 acres. Today we have 7,000 homes, about 25,000 residents.
Same 3,000 acres?
Same 3,000 acres. Okay. We've acquired, the original was 2,800 and we acquired another 200 acres later on. But, you know, he really, this vision was ingrained in everything we do. It's how do you make people's lives better?
So did he create a fire department? Did he create a police department? I'm thinking like Disney World.
So in essence, he helped, the county was a key part of that. When, you know, when you form a town, you know, the county plays a big role until on public safety. Rural Metro was our fire district until recently.
Yep.
And then, but really he formed the water company, the wastewater treatment, the wastewater facility, and kind of worked through all that public infrastructure. And really with this idea that, hey, we're 20 minutes from Tucson. We're 20 minutes from downtown Tucson. We're 20 minutes from like this triangle. I always called like the job triangle.
Yeah.
Of, you know, I would say the tech park, to the Air Force Base, to Raytheon, to downtown, kind of this triangle of of where the major job sector is, and we're 20 minutes. And so how do you create the most family-friendly environment 20 minutes from that area?
So from my recollection as a Tucson boy growing up, because in the late 80s, I was in junior high school, when this town started forming, it was the first time I'd ever heard of a really cool town center with the playgrounds and the pools and the grass. We just didn't have that. Yeah. I mean, I grew up Craycroft and River. We're in the foothills, yes, but there's no like grass area, there's no playground, there's no water park, et cetera. How did your dad create all that?
So he would travel around the country and just learn. You know, my dad was incredible asking questions. And he would go look at other communities around the country and say, hey, how can I bring this part back? What can I bring back to this community? And you're right. There isn't a place really in Tucson. There's some master plans now that have come up over the last 20 or 30 years where you have a lot of sidewalks, you have that. I would argue that, you know, there's very few places in Southern Arizona that have the level of amenities and lifestyle that we have. We have 25 miles of parks, or 25 miles of trails, dozens of parks. 320 plus events a year. You know, we have a whole health and wellness program, a 24-hour gym, we have a water park, we have multiple pools.
That's so much compared to most neighborhoods. So HOA wise, I mean, if you can tell me anything on there, or it's just you and me, man. So
talk about how great Tucson is here, Southern Arizona.
So what does HOA expense look like for a community like this? Because you're kind of insulated also. You're kind of away from some of the garbage or the riffraff that happens if you're close to other areas of town. You're kind of set to yourself. So there's some advantage to that. I'm sure there's some disadvantages. But what does your HOA fee look like for such amenities? Because you can't move to Sabino Canyon and Cloud and get those amenities, right? You have to go to your community or another master plan. What do HOAs look like?
See, now you're going to test me on that. What is our current HOA?
Well, look at affordability of living
in Sahuarita. You know, it's like 100. I want to say it's about $140 a month. Don't quote me on that. Well, you're quoting me on this, but but it's very affordable. But how we did that—that's
a ton for $140.
But the whole idea was you're able to keep your HOA dues low, and because we do something, we have a community enhancement fee, and we're 1% of—and this was pretty innovative—but 1% of the home sale goes back to the HOA.
Wow.
For amenities when you sell your house. So the idea is you're paying for your you're paying for the amenities after you sell the house. And over time, what that does is create a sustainable HOA. Because our biggest concern is, hey, we build, you know, 9,000 units, 10,000 homes, and you have 30, 40,000 residents. And as soon as we leave, the community goes downhill. And that's the last thing we want.
Yeah, yeah.
We're community developers. We build it to last. And so it's not only creating the environment that we're able to do, but it's also creating the fiscal environment that the HOA can sustain. And listen, I will always say we're not for everybody. You know, we are a really integrated community. Everybody knows each other. I've had people compare it to living on base. You know, it's a very tight-knit community that offers a lot of activities, a lot of lifestyle, a lot of programming, and a lot right in your backyard. But again, if you're looking for that 10-acre, you know, ranch parcel, we're probably not for you, and that's okay.
What has surprised you over the years? Because this thing has continued to parlay, and you guys are insulated to a point, but I got a surprise. My son was playing soccer for South Point, and they're like, we're playing Walden Grove. And I said, what the hell is Walden Grove? Because I didn't grow up with a Walden Grove, but Walden Grove is a brand new high school that is first class in the Sahuarita area, right? And so that high school, I don't know where it is in relation to Rancho Sahuarita, but that high school's, it was beautiful. I was shocked. I'm like, when did this get built? Who built this? What the heck's happening here? So how many things have parlayed that have as you just even as the son of Bob has just surprised you with where this thing's gone?
Well, I think so much of it, schools have always been important. You know, what was so attractive about this parcel, if you look, is it had an interchange. There, you know, it was by major employers up at the Triangle as well as the mines, but also had a great school. You know, SCSD has historically been a really good district. We have really worked hard over the years to make it great and help and work with Dr. Valenzuela, who's the incredible superintendent there. But the community supports schools. I personally have led the campaigns with a great committee of, must be 7 or 8 school bonds and overrides.
You're
right
passing
now.
Passing your bonds and overrides?
Passing every single one.
Oh, good for you.
that I, since in the last 15 years since I've been involved, that we've passed, you know, the community supports education. And that, I think, separates great schools, make great communities. And I think that's a message, and you see it in the infrastructure. And listen, public education is tough right now. You know, if you have Manny come on or any other superintendent, you know, public managing through public education is tough. And he is doing a great job in bringing and working with JTED and working with other partners through grants and other aspects to bring top rated AP programs, top rated programs. Great. They have a great ROTC, great sports, great music. But how do you continue that? And you continue in it by the community supporting schools. But a big part of it is recognizing that we're a part of the greater region. And this has always been, you know, I've been involved in Sun Corridor in the chamber for a decade or two. And part of the reason we've always supported it, you know, historically we've been a residential developer. You know, our bread and butter is building great communities. That is what we do. We have a 300-acre town center that we're developing out. It's our commercial town center.
Oh, so
right
that,
on the interchange.
You're segueing perfect for me then.
Well, we'll segue a little bit, but I think what's important is from a region, and I think you leaned into it a little bit. Like, you, depending on where you live, there are parts of this community, parts of this region that are not necessarily what you want to show off when you have prospective employers or yeah. prospective employees coming to town. What we wanted to do and what we continue to build, and the reason I've always supported kind of more of the regional efforts from an economic development standpoint, even just being a residential developer, and we're doing some other things beyond that, was because that residential, knowing where people are going to live, you know, if you're an engineer moving here for Raytheon, or you're a new company looking in, you're looking at, hey, where can my employees afford a house? Where can they go to good schools? Where can they be safe? And we wanted to be at the table and always want to be at the table and say, hey, this is a shining example of a community 20 minutes, you know, from, I mean, you're welcome to come locate in Sarita, I should say, for Tom Murphy, the mayor, who is always saying Sarita is open for business. But even if you're not located in Sarita or on the I-19 corridor, you know, we're 20 minutes. I, you know, it took me 25 minutes to drive down here from my office to where we're filming today.
Yeah, you've built a Mayberry south of Tucson. And I think the two Mayberries that are happening are Vail and Sahuarita.
Correct.
And one thing that I realized from Sahuarita is I have a friend that owns a business in Green Valley. The Green Valley being a retirement community, she has to hire employees for her business. And she's not going to, for the most part, find those employees in Green Valley. So because Sahuarita is close to Green Valley, she has an opportunity to survive as a business.
Correct.
But as people are living in Sahuarita, at some point, you will grow and mature so much as a town, whereas people don't have to commute to Tucson. They can just simply work in Sahuarita. So what's happening on the commercial side?
Well, and I think that's the goal. I mean, we are working on some really large opportunities that I can't announce yet, but we're working on some.
You can announce them.
We won't tell anyone. I can't announce them. I will come back on this show and announce them.
It's just you and me, baby.
But, you know, we're really out there working on some great opportunities and also supporting more regional efforts. You know, we support the mines with South 32 and Rosemont and so forth, or Hudbay, I guess. And you know, we're working on a few things, but you are right. I mean, economic development across the board in this region is challenging, and it's a great opportunity. And how do we as a region, you know, Sarita will be successful, and we've had land all over at the county. And our kind of focus out there, our focus is Sarita. And Sarita is an incredible pro-business, pro-growth community. And I would say common sense. You know, Shane, the town manager there, is a common sense leader.
Do you have the commercially zoned land? Can you expand?
Yeah, I have 300 acres of fully commercial. Come open a Nova there.
I don't own Nova, but I'm happy to.
Oh, okay, you don't.
If I own Nova, I wouldn't be on this podcast right now, man. I wouldn't even be in Tucson. I'd be on a boat somewhere.
I'm going to have Tom come open a Nova down there.
So I have a selfish question for you. So I'm continually asked, if I had a dream for Tucson, what would my dream be? And my dream would be that we said yes more often, that we said yes to opportunities and we were more competitive as a city. Because when I look at what's happening up north, whether it's Glendale, Scottsdale, Tempe, you name it, they're all competing with each other. They're trying to bring business in. And we as a city are continually, in our own ways, pushing business away. So do you have an advantage at Sahuarita where you can have the yes mentality and say yes to business and organizations and opportunities that the city of Tucson is saying no to? Can you bring them to Sahuarita? Because Vail, if you look at around us, whether you're Marana, Oro Valley, Vail, Sahuarita, which is on the map, right? They have an opportunity to grow and to prosper as we continue to say no as the city of Tucson. Do you have an opportunity to play there?
I think it's important to frame the question differently. The answer is yes. First and foremost, the answer is yes. To qualify it though, we can't be successful without each other.
Oh, I agree.
To qualify that, last week I was in LA meeting with a number of business leaders from around the world. And I cannot tell you the amount of people who came up to me as we were talking about different opportunities we're working on. And these are people that in businesses that want to invest, that want to grow, specific industries that want to come to Southern Arizona and Arizona. And they hear about some of our recent activities and being kind of a no community and no region.
Yeah.
And so we start in a deficit.
Yeah, that's my point.
And I think, and it doesn't matter that I'm in Sarita, our main holdings are in Sarita. It doesn't matter that, I work throughout the entire region. It doesn't matter that, hey, it's not in maybe the city of Tucson, which is less business friendly today. Because we're all affected by that dialogue and that mentality.
Yeah.
And so the answer is yes. I think there's a lot that we can do. So in Sarita, within our town center, for example, I think it starts with a very it's not even pro business. I think pro growth and pro economic and social opportunity town council and town staff, where, you know, they want to work with responsible developers who care about the community. And if those developers come in, they're going to keep working with you and they want growth. That being said, I was on the phone with somebody yesterday and I lost, and I can't even get through the door beyond this initial conversation because of this perception that's out there.
Yeah.
And so I think the question is, are we committed as a region, and how do we get committed as a region to keep reinvesting? Because it does affect everybody. And that is really what we're working towards is, hey, if you want us to keep investing and being here, how do we engage? How do we create more common sense leadership? How do we get into a place where we can build economic growth for the benefit of the community?
Well, it's the nooks and crannies. So if I'm in Chicago, I'm in New York, I'm in Tampa Bay, wherever, if I say, they ask me where I'm from, I don't say Marana, I don't say Oro Valley, I don't say Vail, I don't say Sahuarita, I say, I'm from Tucson. And if Tucson, our own city, continually gets in the paper for saying no to opportunities, right, it's going to affect us. However, I'm the past chairman of the chamber, I'm on the chamber of Southern Arizona's board, I'm the vice chair of Rio Nuevo, I'm on SALC's board, et cetera. We have to find our nooks and crannies and find our ways to still be competitive, despite the fact that the main city, the main hub, has been having a no mentality lately. But we have to continue to find that route so that we can win and we can be competitive still.
Well, I think you got to keep being optimistic, right?
For sure.
It's tough. Listen, we lost a deal during some of the most recent, I would say, challenges that were out in the public. We lost an opportunity. I had investors call me who are investing from out of state into this region and say, what is going on? Is it safe to keep investing? Should we be focused elsewhere? And those aren't calls that you want when you're putting everything you have on the line and you're risking a lot. We have 150 employees, 200 employees, almost dependent seasonal. If you had some seasonal in there, and that's 200 families that we need to keep a business operating and we need to be able to keep moving forward and finding success.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of businesses like that. And I think that is what we sometimes forget, is that this whole region is filled with people that are trying, and family businesses and larger companies, but people that are trying to move things along. But it is hard. We are more competitive. If you go to Colorado, if you go to New Mexico, even if you go to Reno, Boise, Inland Empire in California, and California is a different ballgame, but if you go, forgetting Phoenix, and the social infrastructure is better, they're taking better care of their people, and they're also the physical infrastructure is better cared for. And so we need to make a decision in this community, both as business leaders, but also as a community, of saying, hey, and I will say elected officials need to come together and act in the best interest of the overall region and saying, hey, how do we create a regional plan for economic growth, which will lead to better social empowerment and better social safety nets and better infrastructure?
I'll say this semi-controversially. When our community allowed people from Tucson and outside of Tucson to show up to our city council meetings and to scream and to holler at our city council people, that was talked about in Phoenix.
It was talked about around the country.
It was. I'm just aware of people from Tucson that went to Phoenix for meetings, and people in Phoenix who were doing huge deals were like, what the hell are you all doing down there? That was what was going on through the business and the economic development folks out there.
Well, what we try to do, listen, there are going to be people that disagree. I'm a developer.
Right.
I mean, my father passed away 6 years ago, right, from glioblastoma. And during that, the previous 5 years before that, we went through a transition. I'd been working with our company, but listen, I grew up in the business. I'm a developer. My dad had one rule, and it was always do the right thing and treat people fairly.
Amen.
And his right thing, there are people, believe me, there are people that disagreed with him. There are people that disagree with me. But at the core part of it, I'm a developer, but I'm a community developer.
Yeah.
And so at our core and our developer and our, and I would say our team's core, it's striving to say, okay, we are going to create a project and we're part of this community. How is this project affecting the region, affecting the local community? How's it affecting the region? And then how is it sustaining long-term? I get the reputation some developers have.
Sure.
I understand that some out-of-state developers can come in and they just build and go. And they might not have that same level of interest. And that's something that we as a community, both as an industry within the real estate community, and as a region, we need to be cognizant of and be aware of. But that being said, there are ways to develop that both make financial sense, make economic sense, that add value to the city or region or town, whichever municipality is in. And ultimately, I would say, adds value overall to the overall community. And so there's ways to do all of that in how you work through projects.
Yeah, I'll tell you a mini story.
I'm trying to be a little bit more.
No, you're very nice.
I can jump into it. But
I'm a little more mouthy. It's okay. So I'll tell you a little mini story. So we at Reinuevo did an intergovernmental agreement with City of Tucson and the RTA, and we got, forgetting the number, like 50 properties down Broadway as Broadway was being expanded. And we're gonna develop these four areas, and they touch neighborhoods. And that can be super touchy in Tucson, right? You have the cave people, citizens against virtually everything. You have the NIMBYs, not in my backyards, right? And we're like, oh my gosh, we're gonna develop this. So we thought, we can't do like some of the previous developers that have come from out of town and just, like you said, build and go and that's it, right? This is our community. I'm born and raised here. I say Tucson's one big high school hallway. You and I are kids of the high school hallway, right? So we hired a company called Project for Public Spaces out of New York. They came in and they did like 30 interviews, 30 meetings with the neighborhoods, to the point where, fast forward, the very last day of their interviews, they did so many. Jenny Cox and I went to dinner with the guy that was leading the group, and his retina came out of his eye. He was so freaking tired. He couldn't even get on an airplane because his retina popped out. I don't know what the hell that is, but retina popped out. So I asked him, he's like, I got to go to sleep. I'm so tired. I said, do me a favor and just give me the bottom line of what happened with all the neighborhoods and the Reinuevo projects. And he said, we did like 30 meetings, and what we found out in the end is the neighborhoods want nice stuff too. They just simply want to have a voice. So anyone developing, my advice to them is sit with the neighborhoods, have the discussion, dry erase board it, you know, chalkboard it, and come up with ideas and thoughts and what everyone wants to see. Then the neighborhoods want nice stuff too. Will you get a couple unreasonable people every once in a while? You will, but that's in any community. So to flip to something.
That being said though.
Yeah, go ahead.
Then you need political strength and courage. Yeah. And there will be people that will always say no.
Of course.
And you need elected officials and public officials that can recognize kind of the greater good and the strategy and say, okay, we understand and we appreciate that you may not like this, but we need to make the decision for the betterment of the community.
Ooh, that's such a powerful line you just said, because you said two words that matter, which we don't see a lot of the time, which is greater good. it's for the greater good of the community, not for a small group.
And I realize that's our opinion of what the greater good is, but sure. Like to some extent, I mean, we're going to start losing more and more opportunities here. Our growth rate, I was just looking at our growth rate today compared to where it was in the 90s. I think we're at like 5 or 7% population growth in the 90s. And don't quote me on this again, but I think we're at 1% this year. And you know, I talked to a home builder last week. He had the worst month that he's had in October since the Great Recession.
And so what happens if a home builder stops building homes?
You start losing that, you know, people can't afford to buy new homes or buy homes in general.
Yes.
If the affordability, it's not about, you know, I think there's this, we can die. That's a whole podcast within itself is talking about affordability, but at some point the contraction will start to really, I mean, I think it has already, but it's affecting community and it's affecting the resources and, you know, so but you are right. There are people out there that are trying to get this done and we need to think about the greater good. And it's tough.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is tough. There's a well-known gentleman out of Detroit. He was like one of the most influential, Jewish Americans in the 20th century, based in Detroit. He made all his money in Detroit. He made all his money in oil, really, really, really successful, self-made, you know, Marathon Oil, Speedway gas stations, et cetera, kind of was.
Yeah.
And he kept investing in Detroit and he believed in Detroit.
Lost all his money, I'm guessing.
I don't want to go there. But, you know, I think there's this belief of, hey, for you and I and others in this region as business leaders and community leaders is saying, this is our community. Yes, we could go elsewhere. Yes, we can. And yes, we can go invest elsewhere. But this is our home and we're going to continue to keep trying.
Yeah.
You know, that being said, both of our businesses rely on other people. They rely on you know, mine rely on investors, yours relies on clients, but it all relies on people having some form of capital, you know, and capitalism of some level. And we need to have that here. We need to be able to have the movement of cash and the movement of capital, movement of business services to be successful as a region. That's how our cities make money from taxes, you know, whether it's property tax or sales tax or whatever it is.
Yeah.
It's through services. It's through taxing services and property, et cetera.
Amen. Saying yes to certain deals will increase your tax income. Yeah. This has been great. I could talk to you for another hour. Maybe we'll have to do a part two at some point. You're fantastic. Thank you for all you're doing in our community. Thank you for everything that you're building in Sahuarita. I'm sure there's tons of other deals that you're working on, which we didn't even talk about. But yeah, greater good perspective. Say yes to more opportunities and more deals here in Tucson so we can continue to prosper. But this is fantastic. So
I love it. Thank you. Let's do it again.
Yeah. Thank you for watching Tucson Future brought to you by Nova Home Loans. Subscribe on YouTube, listen on Spotify, reach out to novahomeloans.com. Until next time, go out and enjoy our fabulous community. And thank you again, Jeremy Sharp. Thank you.